His mercy is and how great God is. So we want to get started right now with our service and appreciate God for His mercies and His goodness upon our lives. God is so good to us, and God is so merciful to us. And Wednesday night we were in 1 Corinthians 15, speaking about the resurrection, I think the corruptible, the change that's coming to our lives. This corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. I want to go to in 2 Timothy, I think, a little bit in some of those. Paul was a master, and he wrote this beautiful chapter of 1 Corinthians, and no one was able to explain the resurrection like Paul did. And he was speaking to the church. Then he wrote to his young son Timothy, and he said in First Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 2. Down in verse 6, I'll just get down to verse 6 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Mm-hmm. And verse 6 says, "The husbandman that laboreth," 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Now, I'm not in verse 1. I'm in chapter 2, verse, yes. And I need your help, okay? In verse 6, let's read. "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits." Now, here's what Paul is saying to Timothy, because in everything, if you're starting a business or whatever you have to do, you have to sit down and consider, right? You have to plan. You can't just get out there and start something and you don't know what you're doing, and your labor would be in vain. So you have to plan your life. You have to plan your home, plan your budget or whatever. You have to consider. Consider is a powerful word, because a lot of people just act and do it, and they do not consider. See, but when you sit down and consider, it's like meditating. Consider, Paul says, what I say. Now, that's going to take you a long time to consider what Paul has to say, because he said a lot. Consider what I say. Not only consider, because you can consider, you can meditate, you can plan, but you come up with nothing. You because your steps are not ordered by God. You're not directed by God. You did it, and you did it without the help of God. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." You just did it. Something come in your mind, and you did it. And then you said, "Oh, I felt God," but God was not in there. God was not in your thoughts. God was not in your action. You did it all by yourself. So it becomes carnal. And it become a work of iniquity. Anything that's done without God. Anything. Remember that now. That anything that's done in the human without the help of God is unrighteous. You say, "But I didn't sin when I did it." The fact that you left God out of it. The fact that you didn't consider. The fact that you did not meditate, therefore God was not in all your thoughts. You can be very smart naturally. You got a great mind. But when it comes to God, you don't know anything. You can treat the world very good, and you love it, and you want to be seen in the world. You're very happy when the world acknowledges you. You've seen it with stars, movie stars. You've seen it even with people that left church. You can read it. They were once in church, and they leave out. They get a lot of money, but they never live to spend it. See, they got a lot of stuff, but they didn't, because they did not consider the latter end. what is going to happen when my days is over and when the bright light is off of me. See, the bright light doesn't stay always on you. So Paul was saying here to his young son, Timothy, said, and he was getting ready to depart. So he said, Timothy, I want you to consider what I say. Ooh, what about your thoughts, Timothy? What about what you think? Paul said, I want you to consider, begin to focus on what I'm saying. Not so much on what you're saying, what you're thinking, but I want you to consider what I say. Like this morning, if I say to this church, I want you to think about what I'm telling you from the Word of God. Only think about today, right now, what I'm saying from the Word of God. I want you to block out every other thoughts. And you might come in with a lot of problem. I don't know, different thoughts in your mind, and you figure, but I've been focusing on this from last night, and I need to continue while I'm sitting in this church. I want you to stop that right now and consider what I'm saying.
Hallelujah.
Can you give that time to God?
Yeah.
And he goes on, he said, not only that, because you need something else while you're considering. You need the help of the Lord. He said, and the Lord, read, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's powerful. That no, there's no better guidance and no better instruction than this. Consider what I said as I'm preaching, and I said, all right, now I want you to stop. Even what your mother tell you, what you learned from your grandparents, what you learned from your family, put all that aside and consider what I say. You consider what I say. Why? Because Paul was speaking the mind of God. Paul was speaking the word of God. So he said to his son, consider what I say. Can you get to that place where you begin to consider only the word of God? You begin to think of only the word of God, or your mind is scattered up all over. And you just don't know who you are. You don't know what the purpose of God in your life is. But Paul said, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. Now, understanding is powerful, because you can study a thing, but you don't understand what it's saying. Go on a trade or a job and you don't understand. See, he said, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, he's going to say something. He has been saying something, but he's going to say also something else. Because then in verse 8, here's what he said. Here's what he said in verse 8. Now, consider, and now, don't forget. Don't forget what I'm saying. Remember, look at this. Remember that Jesus Christ, who? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. That's powerful. Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Let's find out. Paul made a beautiful statement right there. So go to Romans chapter 1 and find out where that Jesus is the seed of David. You find Romans chapter 1, where, let me start at verse 1, says Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, see, the same one that's writing to Timothy, here he is right now. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, he was separated. So Timothy also, to understand what a separated man has to say to him, he must be separated. If he was tangled up with the world, mixed up, compromising with the world, trying to fit into the world, he could never understand, because his mind had to be spiritual. The carnal-minded man cannot understand, discern the things of God. So first, he had to, by considering, that means his mind would become spiritual. He would have to break away from the natural things of this world. He couldn't be half in the world, one foot in the world, and one in the kingdom. But Paul says, he separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore. Look at that. Look how far back Paul goes. What a lot Timothy has to consider. See, this gospel was promised afore or before by his prophets, right? By his prophets in the Holy Scripture. So Timothy, to consider, he's got to go through Paul back down to all of the scriptures and the promises that God made about David, the seed of David. Amen? Said in verse 3, concerning, what did the prophet speak about? The son, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Concerning the seed of David, son. Because Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was also the Son of Man. The Son of David, he came through the lineage of David by Abraham. Okay, so he said, I said, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was made. Remember, God gave him a body through Mary. See, the virgin that produced this body sacrifices an offering thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared for me. God provided a body for Jesus Christ so he could enter into the human family, that he could become one of us without sin, and he bypassed Adam, the first Adam. Jesus never got anything from Adam, not one thing. Jesus Christ never was in Adam. He never came out of Adam. You and I came out of Adam. You and I bear the marks of the first Adam, which is a corruptible fallen image. But Jesus Christ had a body, a glorious body, that came from the Father. God gave Jesus the body, and he was born of a virgin. That Mary was never touched by a man. She was engaged, but before they came together, before she and Joseph ever came together, God protected that little girl, and she produced a Messiah. She produced a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So Paul is saying, concerning his son, verse 3, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord. You can lift your hands up and acknowledge him. I said, you are Lord. Lord, I acknowledge you in my heart. And he said, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now look at this, beautiful. And declare, everybody read this loud. And declare to be the Son of God with power. Notice, declare to be, he is the Son of God with power. What power? The power of the Holy Ghost that raised him up from the dead, that's working in his life. That same power that God wants to give you and I. Because if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will resurrect you. He will raise you by that spirit. So he was declared to be the Son of God with power, everlasting power, and according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the from the dead. Look at that. By the resurrection from the dead. The same resurrection that Jesus Christ partake of is the same resurrection that you and I will partake of. Is the same resurrection that Paul and all of the apostles will partake of. Amen? He was raised up from the dead by the power of God. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you need that Holy Ghost. You need that power today to be working in your life. So Paul said, now I want you, Timothy, to consider what I'm saying. Well, what has Paul been saying? You go back to Romans that we just read it. What Paul has been saying about Jesus Christ and about the resurrection of the dead. He's saying the very same thing to the church today. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you back to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, all things pertaining to God, all things pertaining to the resurrection, all things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay, remember, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, we just proved that he was in Romans chapter 1, that he's of the seed of David. Okay? He says that of the seed of David was raised, how? From the dead according to my gospel. Because Paul received his gospel from Christ. He said, I was not taught it, or neither I learned it, but by revelation of the Spirit of God. God revealed himself to Paul, the Word of God. And that's what he was passing on to his son Timothy. Now you consider what I've said. Why? Because what I'm telling you, I receive it from God, that Jesus Christ was of the seed of David, and that he was declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. God raised him up, amen, from the dead. He was slain, he was crucified, but on the third day, God raised him. The dead had no power over him. He was raised up. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Christ Jesus came to destroy death. He came to destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. You see, death came by one man, the Bible tells us. For since, but since by one man came death, by another one man came the resurrection from the dead. See, the devil, through Adam, brought death into the world. Death, I'm talking about eternal death, where there's second death, where there's no resurrection. Because the Lord says, fear not him who can kill the body. That's first death. And it's appointed unto man once to die. That's death number one. But after you die, you don't want to remain dead forever and ever and ever, because of the resurrection is coming. But you want to be a partaker of the resurrection, that you will be raised up from death when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. If you're out of Christ, you'll never be raised in the first resurrection. You have to wait for the rest of the dead resurrection, which is called the final resurrection. But second death has power over you. The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years. Imagine, 1,000 years go by and you're not in the millennium kingdom. You're out. See, you're not partaking in the millennium kingdom because you're dead. You're dead. You still have a corruptible body. You still have a mortal soul. So you're dead. And there's no resurrection for you in that state until the final or the last resurrection. See, that's at the white throne judgment when the Father comes down to judge in Revelation chapter 20. But we want to be partakers of the resurrection. Yeah. Amen. That is called the blessed resurrection. That is called a holy resurrection. So Paul said a lot of things. And he said, Timothy, I want you to go through all that I've said and consider it. I want you, like when Jeremiah found, when that book was found in the temple, Jeremiah took it and he read it until fire was shut up in his bones. He said, thy words were found and I did eat them. How do you eat them? Why, by just studying them, by meditating on them. I ate them, I eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. See, you have to stay in the Word of God. And when you read it, at first, well, I don't understand. Well, don't stop. Well, I can't figure it. Don't stop. The Holy Ghost will spring up in your heart and suddenly and begin to guide you and begin to help you. You just stop too quick. You stop too soon. And, well, I read it, but I don't understand it. Well, keep going on. And ask God to open your understanding. That's what Paul said to his young son Timothy. Let's get back there. He said, verse, consider what I said, and the Lord, notice who gives you understanding. Timothy, you might not understand everything I'm saying right then when you read it one or two times, but he says that give yourself to reading. Consider what I say. See, that's the way you approach it. You can't just read over it. You get up and you quote a few scripture. But everybody's going to know that it's just from your head and your mouth. It's not coming from your heart. It's something that you memorize. Just memorizing scripture and quoting them is not effective. But it's when thy word have I hid in my heart. Are you listening now? When thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It's when the word of God gets down in your soul and something begins to shout. A little voice inside of you begins to say, amen. And when you read the Word of God and all you want to do is be with the Word of God. You want to draw nigh to God and then you'll find He draw nigh to you. See, that Word getting a hold of you. And that Word in your soul becomes greater than the things of the world. The world loses its hold on you. And Jesus Christ becomes the anchor of your soul. That's what God will do for you. And He said, Timothy, I want you to study until God give you understanding. Come on, I want you to meditate on the Word of God until God bubbles up through the Holy Ghost that Word in your life where you're not dry and cold and dead and a starchy old preacher going over the same old things and you cannot even get away from the foundation's doctrines. Why, you just right there and you know a few scriptures, how to go for something natural, but what about going on in the Spirit? Amen? Well, you've got to get rid of the first man. The first man, the carnal man, the natural man. And begin to focus on the last Adam. Amen. From the Lord of glory, that man which is from above. Amen. The last Adam, that's what we need to focus. And that will keep you alive and make you come alive. Amen. So the Lord give you, as you consider what I'm saying, understanding. That you have to understand the scripture. Because if you do not understand it, then the devil will catch it away from you. He will lie to you and tell you that you're not saved, that you're wasting your time in reading. Then Paul went on and said, remember we touched it, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, and I want to let's go forward a little bit because they were, let me establish right here what I'm saying. The kingdom, the second coming of Jesus Christ and the first resurrection, they all go together. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have the kingdom established upon the earth. The kingdom of God is not going to be established in heaven. There's already a kingdom in heaven. So he said to his disciples, when you pray, said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In earth, whatever way you want to put it. But not only is it going to be done inside of you, but it's going to be done outside of you, in so much that Leo the lion will eat straw like a bullock, where they never hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And this earth will become an again Genesis. Right now, he's working on the church. Amen. He's working to make you and I be citizens of the kingdom. Amen. Where we will be ready for the kingdom right now. It's through the church that you become ready. You don't wait for the kingdom to get ready. That goes for the rest of the creation. But you and I are being worked on right now with a new nature. We are being orientated for the kingdom. That we are in the world, but not of this world. We are in the world, but we have a kingdom mentality. We are focused on the kingdom. Let this mind be in you. Although we are in earth, but we lay up treasures in heaven. We are focused. We set our affection on heaven, although we are here. So God, as a people that overcome, and they overcame out by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, you do that through the kingdom, through the word of God. So that's why when you hear the word of God, you can lift your hands up and say, amen. 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 You can praise the Lord where you're not just dead and dry and you have no life. But there's something working on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's called the power of Almighty God. It's working inside of you. And nobody have to say amen, lift your hands up. No, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And his strength is made perfect in weakness. And although you're weak, yet am I strong. Devil, you're a liar. Though I'm weak, yes, my body, but yet am I strong. And you're still fit, you're faint, but you run the race that is set before you. Because somebody's going to defy the devil and tell the devil he's a liar. And cast down, but not defeated. Amen. You can't stop us. You can't stop us from going on. Come on, are you with me? Amen. Come on, are you with me? Amen. Amen. Just don't sit there, but let the Holy Ghost work in your life. Let the power of Almighty God work in your life. Amen. Now, I want to show you something in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I was talking about the kingdom needs the resurrection and also need the second coming to be established. Without the first resurrection and the second coming of Jesus Christ, you'll never have an establishment of the kingdom that God promised to David. The kingdom that God promised to David is not in heaven, but it's on the earth. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? That's why the scripture could say David is not ascended into heaven because his kingdom is a earthly kingdom. It's talking not so much his flesh, but it's talking about the promise that God made to David, where he has to be on earth. It's going to be an earthly. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Yeah, the son of David is to rule upon the throne, because even before David was born, God had a kingdom, a throne in the earth. And then he gave it to the seed of David, and many of the sons of David did not do right. So the kingdom was postponed, overturned, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is. That's Jesus Christ. And he's coming just ahead of us to take claim, because he's the rightful one, the rightful heir of the kingdom. Is a rightful one. Amen. So here now, I want you to focus here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, said, and I'm going to show you where these three, the kingdom, the resurrection, and the second coming, is joined together. You cannot separate them. And Paul said, consider what I said. Consider about the kingdom, the resurrection, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because here we are, we are the closest generation to the coming of the Lord. And we don't even know anything. All we know is Jesus is coming, and we're going to fly away. Oh, glory. And there's a golden street up there. Come on. Come on. Stop talking like that. Get down. It's a government that you're talking about. A government that's greater than America's government, any government on the earth. Because all these governments will fade away. But I saw a little stone that smite the image, the governments of this world. And that little stone remained forever and ever and became a great mountain. Hey, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and we will be kings and priests. Come on, let's talk about something that's worthy, and put away milk and honey and flying away and all that stuff. Let's stop fighting over baby stuff and sit down. Look, because we're not babes anymore, but we are growing up, and we know there's responsibility, because the children of the kingdom, listen, they will rise up and possess it. Why? With knowledge and understanding, with the work of the power of God working in their life. It's called the children of the kingdom. If you're a child of the kingdom, you're going to rise up with strength. Amen. With strength. You have a little strength, but he's going to give you and increase your strength into where you'll be able to take the kingdom and possess it. Amen. Stop being weak, and you can hardly even lift your hands up. Come on. Get over that stuff. You can't even praise the Lord. You're dead, and you know you're dead. You're dry because we don't want to give up. We don't want to surrender. And so you hold on. But that will put you in the final resurrection. Amen. God's no respect to a person. You need to listen to the word of God. Now here, Paul joined them. And one verse of scripture where Paul explained it beautifully. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and started verse 1. Put that up, yes, for me. Now, I want you to look at it. Look at the scripture. Look in your Bible or look on the board and read it. It says, I charge. It was a charge. Look, it was a charge. Man, it's a charge would be like, what, an indictment? Eh? Help me. What if you're indicted, charged, subpoenaed? I don't know. Give me some words. Yeah? Command. Hey, a military. I charge you. You have to do this. It's military. We don't even read that. We don't even understand that. But look at it. I charge you. It's a charge. You know, every one of us, we've got to fulfill this charge. Otherwise, this will result as a subpoena or an indictment to the final resurrection. You're going there with a piece of a summons in your hand, whatever, not the one you eat, but the one that's going to take you there, a piece of paper written, here the word of God, I charge you. Am I right? Are you following me? Let's read it. I charge thee, therefore, before who? Before God. What a charge. What a charge. The magistrate. So you're summoned. Timothy, I'm charging you that if you don't do this, you will stand in the white throne judgment before the throne of God. So I'm charging you. Listen now. I charge you. I'm charging you. I'm charging this church, every one of us, before God. Before who? Before God. And you can resist all you want to, but the charge is still out there. When an officer writes you a summons, you better respond. You better go down and take care of your ticket. Amen? And otherwise, you go much further than that. Said, I charge thee, that therefore, before God. Read it up. Said, and two witnesses. Look, there's two witnesses. Who are they? I am one, Jesus said, and my Father is the other. So here's the two witnesses that's charging, not just Paul alone, but Paul said, I charge you. It's like you commit, when you refuse it, you commit an offense. You can commit an offense against the state, but you can also commit an offense against America, the United States, okay? So now, he said, this offense is against God and against Jesus Christ. And what's the charge that you've got to answer? How do you answer that charge? Or do you pay the fine? By serving God now, by answering to the charge right now. Otherwise, an indictment is over your head, a charge is over your head. And Paul says, I charge thee. If you don't believe me, you go check at the courthouse and find out what a charge is. Eh? When you're under a charge, or your subpoena, or whatever, an indictment, something, you're charged for something. Amen? A crime or something like that. And you have to answer to it. You can run, but you can't hide. And that charge is over you. It doesn't matter where you move to, that charge is still effective. And when you are caught, you'll be brought back to answer it. But this one now, you cannot run away from the white throne judgment. Amen. Said, I charge you therefore before God, I like this, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, here's what he's going to do. Here's what he's going to do now. Now he's your Savior. Am I right? Now he's a Savior. You can cry out and ask him to forgive you, and he will. But then, he's a judge. Who shall judge? Read it. Who shall judge the quick and the dead? What is the quick? The alive and the dead. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. So it doesn't matter what you're in, whether you're asleep or awake, whether you're alive or dead. Someone say, I'm dead. No. It doesn't matter. God bring you back. He's going to judge the dead, because Revelation 20 tells you, I saw that the sea gave up the dead. Doesn't matter where, there's no hiding place from this judgment. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his, notice, at his appearing and kingdom. So at his appearing and kingdom. So let's go over it again. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall what? Judge the quick and the dead. That's the resurrection. The quick and the dead. That's the resurrection. Am I right? Okay. The quick and the dead is the quick. That's the resurrection of the just. And the dead is the resurrection of the unjust. Because there's two resurrection right there. One for the just and one for the unjust. We'll get to that. There's a first resurrection and a final resurrection. But blessed is he that are part in the first resurrection. Okay? Now, the quick and the dead, that means the dead who had not yet received immortality or an incorruptible body and immortality in your soul. So they're dead. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. That doesn't mean that's not talking about first death now. That's talking about second death. They still have the cloud of second death over them. And that cloud has to be removed and can only be removed if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Now let me go again. The quick, who shall judge the quick and the dead? That's the first resurrection. And his appearing. His appearing is the second coming. Amen. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation and his kingdom. So you have the resurrection, quick and dead, and his appearing. Amen. Second coming and his kingdom. Do you see how it's joined right there? One verse of scripture tell you we're right. One verse of scripture tell you it's joined together. One verse of scripture tells you what God is going to do. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. at his appearing and kingdom. So Paul said to Timothy, I want you now to consider what I say. Because you don't want to have part in the resurrection of the dead. You want to have part in the resurrection of the quick. So as you consider and meditate what I say, the Lord gave you understanding. The Lord began to change you from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord began to help you to put off the old man, put off that old nature, get rid of the first Adam. And God wants to quicken you. You are the quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin. That's a spiritual resurrection that happened to you right now. God raised you up. God quickened you. And he put begin to work life and immortality in your soul to them who by patience continue in well-doing. Do you understand? He's not in and out, up and down once in a while and you missed it. It's a faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He says, what was I saying? He said, he judged you at the first resurrection for life. We are being judged right now for life. So when we stand before the throne of God, we will never have to give an account, okay, of our sins, because we are confessing and repenting of our sins. So that give us life. Amen. He quickened us. You at the quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin. And life comes in right now. Right now. A quickening power. That's what you're working on. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in times past, you walk according to the course of the world. That means you just do it. But now, in Christ Jesus, you're living for God. You're serving God. And you put away, cast off the work of darkness. And you have the garment of light. It's called immortality. You know, you're getting something that God only has. God only has immortality. So you're seeking for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. Amen? And so back there in verse 2. Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me see what I have there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Can you help me? Let me see. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. All right. Because he's coming back. When I'm touching the second advent. Okay, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Unto you who are troubled. Look at this. Rest with us. There's a rest right here. Rest from your labor. And their work do follow them. They rest. Rest in God. Doesn't mean you come and sit down and sleep. But you cast your care, your burden on the Lord. And you hear a word that sets you and encourage you. To you who are troubled. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed. We touch that. That's the second coming. Revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You won't have to be afraid because you'll be in there. You'll be one of them. Verse 8. How is he coming back? Read on. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know and they don't obey the word of God. They still are rebelling. They might be serving God for 20, 30, 40 years, but that rebellion is still. They still have the same weakness. We still have the same thing that's bothering us. Up, down, in, out. And we don't have the victory. We don't go from glory to glory. Not from defeat and then victory and then back to defeat. No, it's from glory. Once you obtain it, you got it, you hold on to it forever. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit. You're not up on the 1st of January with a New Year's resolution. And then by the 2nd of January, midnight, you're gone all back to who you are. No, that's not the way it works. See, to them who continue in well-doing, you're seeking for something. You're seeking something for more better than bank account with billions of dollars in it. You're seeking for eternal life. They seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. So he's coming back. How is he coming back? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that, here it is, know not God. So Timothy, consider what I said. The Lord give you understanding. You better know, because the Lord is coming back in flaming fire and he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God, have no knowledge of God. They don't have any knowledge and they didn't think it was important. They don't know what God is doing. They don't know about the kingdom of God. They don't know about the resurrection. They don't know about the second coming. Come on. Consider what I said, Timothy. They don't know that Jesus Christ was born of the seed of David. Amen. And how he's coming back to take the throne and to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years were finished, he gives back that throne to God the Father, because God is going to embark on another program called eternity. Amen. And after that, God is going to go out and the everlasting doors is going to be lifted up. And nobody knows what God has out there for his sons and daughters, where eyes have not seen. And it has not yet even entered into the minds or heart of man, the things that God has prepared them for them. But look at slowly God is doing, revealing them to us by his Spirit. Because right now we know that there's a resurrection, a first resurrection. It's a blessed and holy resurrection. And I want to take part in that. Don't you? But you have to understand. You have to consider what I say. Consider the word of God. Meditate until that word of God breathe the life of God in your soul. Until that word of God breathe the Holy Ghost life in your spirit. Until that Holy Ghost change you where you're not the same. You've got a new heart, a new mind. You have new thoughts. You've got to let the Holy Ghost do it. Otherwise, it never be done. And when you get stirred up, others going to be get stirred up. But you need to get on fire. Come on. Let the fire burning. Let the light shine in this dark world so that men will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. In closing, said, he's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall punish? Who shall be punished? With what? Notice. Very careful now and get it. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? This is terrible. You might just read over it, and unless you're really focusing and considering, you just read over it, it don't mean nothing to you. But even Cain cried out when God banished him from his presence. He cried out, my punishment is too hard. Everlasting what? Destruction from what? The presence of the Lord. You never feel God anymore. You never, ever, ever feel God. Just like the angels that sin. You're punished with everlasting destruction. You can never feel God. You can never come in his presence again. Forever and forever and forever you're gone. Think about that now. You might think it's something, I come in the presence of God when I want to. Oh no. You're punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God. The worst thing can ever happen to a person that they can't feel God. They've never been in the presence of God. Say amen. They're in darkness and from what? The glory of his power. Remember, we're supposed to move from glory to glory, even as by the power of the Spirit of the Lord. But no, you're not. Because you're separated, you're punishing from the presence of God. Next verse says, when he shall come, notice, when he shall come, we touch that, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. See, we tells you and you believe it and know that day, so you prepare and make changes. Amen. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Amen. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in him, according to the grace of God, our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it?
Now I beseech you,
brethren, by the coming, notice the second coming, by the coming, second advent, verse what, 13? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. Are you starting at verse 1? Now we beseech you. I'm trying to stop. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him when he comes back. Shiloh, we heard that lesson. We are gathered together unto him. That you should not be soon shaken in your mind. Don't let the devil upset you. You don't come back to church. You give up. Neither be by spirit, nor by gossipers, words, nor by letter, as from us, that that day of Christ is at hand. Don't be troubled, right? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Then it goes on into that, okay? Where the son of perdition, that we will deal another subject. Amen? Give the Lord a praise right now. Give the Lord a praise. Come on.